Well, here we are, the second week of this series, The Heart of Christmas, and we've been discovering the meaning of Christmas through hope, peace, and love and joy. We'll be looking at each one of those different gifts of Christmas, and so the whole meaning of the birth of Christ. How many of you had time? Well, don't raise your hand, right? But I hope, let me put it this way. I hope that each of you had time to read those questions that I gave you. Not only read them, but took time to answer them. I know that I received word from one of you, so I'm not going to say who it was, but saying that, hey, I did all of the questions. I did my homework. And I'm like, okay, right on. So that person gets a star by their name on my big board in my... This week, like I said last week, we started on hope, and that is the heart of Christmas. We see the faithfulness of God in His prophetic word, His faithfulness, it being spoken in the old covenant, what was to happen some 100 years later, that's captured in the new covenant, and that when something is spoken in the old covenant prophetically, and it comes to being, how could we not have that same type of hope for things to come? Trusting and having hope in our Heavenly Father. No matter what we face, God is an on-time God. Today, we look at another aspect of the heart of Christmas. And it's the wonderful offer of peace. How many of you here are ornament collectors? How many do that? Okay, so, all right. So, not everybody does it. I'm not one. We have those who do that. Maybe some of you listening up this morning, you collect ornaments and you have a new one every year with a special meaning. So, there's this couple that they collected ornaments no matter where they were at. If they were at Disney World or Gatlinburg or wherever they might have been, they got a Christmas ornament. Even one from Myrtle Beach, they brought it back home. They one year they found this one ornament that seemed to capture them. Just a simple ornament on a piece of silver tin that read "Peace on Earth." Out of all of the ornaments, that was their favorite one. Every year they looked forward to when it came time to decorating the Christmas tree, and they were digging out the ornaments, and they'd find that one. You know, that special one, and you go, oh, yeah. It has that special place on the tree. I can't help but think that the reason of Jesus' birth is God's deep desire to see His creation no longer broken, conflict, but rather restored peace. Peace in relationships, in families. Why not say globally? Peace. So that's where we begin today. The Christmas story in the Bible begins with an odd group of fellows known as shepherds. And I think that these shepherds, they were out in the fields watching their flocks by night. I think we've all read that scripture. And we're going to read it here again this morning if you want to turn your Bibles to Luke. Luke, the second chapter. Luke, the second chapter, and we'll be starting with verse 8. And it reads, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Fear not, and behold, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. I think if I haven't shared it before, maybe you know that the shepherds, they were like the bottom of the food chain. Like you just didn't say, wow, I hope my son becomes a shepherd someday. That just wasn't a thing. They shepherds were considered like the scum of the earth. Scum being defined in Webster's Dictionary, for those who still have one of those, a low, vile, or worthless person or group of people. That's what they were. They were considered the scum of the earth. They lived out in the fields amongst their flock, these animals. They weren't all the time always clean, which made them, as shepherds, ceremonially unclean. They couldn't come in through the doors and worship. They couldn't come into a synagogue because of their filthiness. But I find it rather amazing that when we read this passage, he chose this important message to be disseminated, to be delivered by the shepherds. You see, the peace of God is for all people. That's what we just read in this text this morning. That angels had to steady the shepherds by telling them, you know, whenever shepherds show up, everybody's like, you know. And so they're like always saying, chill. Well, it doesn't say chill, all right. But he's just, relax. Don't be afraid. The message they brought was good news, because a babe was to be born who was the long-awaited Messiah. Those 700 years that this Messiah had been talked about had finally come. And the angels told them where to find Jesus. And before they left on their search, a heavenly host broke over them and saying, peace to those on whom God's favor rests. Jesus was ushering peace. And he started with the shepherds, letting them know. When I lived in Fairbanks, some of you know that I was a ministry there. We used to do this thing every Christmas called Adopt a Family. We'd find a family and we would get all of their information, all the 411, right, about the families. And you know, it didn't matter what size family, whether it was a small family or a large family. Sometimes, like the big families, like with six people, and we got the names of everybody. And we knew what toy they wanted, you know, and we received the sizes of the clothing that they were wearing. And we'd go and we'd shop, and each person would bring, you know, it was a team effort. The congregation would get all these gifts and box them all up. And, you know, it took just short, I'm exaggerating, but we had to get a trailer, right, to haul all of those gifts. And they were stacked up in the backs of trucks. As we went to the families to give them this gift, a good friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, I was talking to her last night about Adopt a Family, and she said, we had everything, including the tree and the ornaments. This house, they didn't have anything. So we walked in, bam, a tree with ornaments. And she said, we took those and a few gifts in, and the woman, she was excited. She's like, there's going to be Christmas in this house. I didn't think it would happen to me. I don't have a job. I don't know how I'm going to pay my next light bill. And here we were. And my friend says she remembered us bringing in a gift, and then somebody come in and like, okay. And then somebody else would be coming in as the person was going out bringing in another gift. And this kept happening. And the lady, she just sat there and she began to cry. She was just so taken by all these gifts that kept coming up and surrounding the tree. There's one time I remember in Fairbanks, this is a real deal, right? Because they use oil to heat their homes. No one wants to come home and see the little yellow tags on their doorknob. But these people, they said, we need fuel oil. And I remember my friend Keith Palaya, he had one of those external tanks on his truck, and we filled it with diesel or heating oil. And we said, "Oh, so where's your tank?" My friend, remember Keith, like, "Oh, so where's your tank at?" And he's like, "Above ground?" "Yeah, above ground and below ground, right?" And he's like, "Oh, it's right over there." My friend Keith just backed up his truck. The guy's like, "What's going on?" He goes, "Yeah, putting some heating oil in your home." I share the story, but I guess maybe you'd have just had to have been there. I don't know if you have ever experienced being as low as you can go, being as not being able to provide the simplest of gifts, the simplest of necessities for your family, but to have a group of people come in and just love on them. It's something else. And then we'd say, "Hey, do you mind if we sing a song? A couple songs." And so we'd sing Silent Night. And then we'd sing Joy to the World. We'd ask permission. We didn't want to be all churchy, right? We said, "Hey, can we pray over you?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah." There was never once when we did that they said, "No, we'd rather you not." Every time they said, "Yeah, why not?" In those two songs and a prayer, the gospel message was given. And that day, the good news of God was shown to all of his people. All his people. Jesus was born for them just as he was born for us. There was a survey taken by Ministry 127. The one survey, nearly one-third of those questions said, of all the people mentioned in the Christmas story, they identified themselves as being a shepherd. Looked at as the lowliest of a group of people. Being average, ordinary. What I find most amazing is that when God wanted to announce the arrival of his son, he didn't do it in the presence of dignitaries. He didn't do it in front of kings and queens. He didn't say, there wasn't somebody bugling or sounding a horn saying, "This is the wonderful counselor. This is the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel." It didn't happen like that. He announced it to the marginalized, the poor, and the forgotten. It truly is good news because it's God's favor was offered to the shepherds. If it was offered to the shepherds, then it's offered to you too. as I look at this crowd and that's here assembled, those who I know that are listening, none of us are at the lowest of lows. And he's saying to those of the lowliest of lows, those who are of means, of prominence, he's saying, hey, this peace is available to you. It's the world's greatest need from the time since sin entered the world and affected all of his creation, we have been at odds with God. Ever since that sin that took place, I just wish there was such a thing as an Etch-a-Sketch back in the day, where Jesus could have just, or God could have just took an Etch-a-Sketch and said, okay, let me start all over. All right, this is Adam and this is Eve, and okay, and maybe they'll get it this time. The Bible says we were enemies of God. We've been rebellious against him. Just look at his word. Over half of the Old Covenant is spoken of how we keep on disregarding everything God provided for us. Even when we said, okay, so there was like, okay, we have all this stuff. Okay, now we like, you know, thumb our nose up at God and say, God, you stink. And then he's like, oh, geez, you people, when are you going to get it? And he's like, okay, you think I stink? Okay, I'm gonna give you to your enemies. See how that works. And then like, oh, an epiphany. Oh, geez, we had it good when we had God with us, when we recognized him. Things were good. Then we'd sin again. Sin didn't just stop there. It was also caused us to be in conflict with one another, ourselves. Even, do I dare say that there's even conflict in congregations? This is why Jesus' birth was and is such good news. It is the ultimate prayer to brokenness that exists. It exists because of sin. Brokenness between ourselves and God, ourselves and others, and our own inner voice. There's that peace that seems to be missing. This is the way Paul put it when he wrote to the church of Colossae. He said Paul was expressing the role that Jesus plays in making peace. He says in Colossians 1, 19 through 22, it says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. To understand the peace that is ushered in at Christmas time, we must understand that although Jesus arrived in a cradle, from the time he arrived on the cradle, he knew he wasn't going to stay there, because he knew eventually from the cradle he would be going to the cross. He had a mission. And he came into this world as a babe. He was hung on a tree. He knew that was going to happen. Jesus intentionally lived his sinless life and willingly offered it to each and every one of you. You might say that we are indeed shepherds. He offered it to his blood to the lowest of the lowest. And not any of you, but He found me. He offered his blood to me at my lowest of lows. Me recognizing, I'm saying, I don't deserve that. Have you ever got a gift like that? You're like, you just know you didn't deserve it. Huh? And you're like, whoa. You know, you lose your breath and like tears. You're like, I don't deserve that. And our Heavenly Father says, I know. But you got to understand, I love you, and I created you, and there's sin, and the only way you can hang out with me for eternity is for your sin to be, for your sin to be released, for it to go away, for there to be a remission of your sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way that's going to happen is through my son. Christ's sacrifice on the cross pays for the sins that we committed. It made us able to hang out with our Father. Secondly, Jesus reconciles us to God. When we receive the gift of forgiveness that is offered to us by faith, we become friends of God, and he offers us his power to help us navigate the difficulties of life. Some may believe that being made right with God means that they will never face any type of problems. Like, I'm saved, all right. I don't have to worry about a thing. Maybe you've heard of this guy, Tony Evans. The women have been doing a study with their daughter, but Tony Evans says it like this, he says, peace does not mean you won't have problems. Peace means that your problems won't have you. Oh. When I came across this quote, I'm like, oh my. This Tony Evans is kind of sharp. But what if we applied this to our lives and just said, okay, peace doesn't mean that I'm not going to, because I have Jesus, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to have problems. But peace means that your problems won't have you. How many of you are letting your problems consume you? How many of you are letting your sins like have you like this, keeping you captured, keeping you hostage? The peace that God offers puts that problem where it needs to be. The peace offered to those on whom God's favor rests does not equate to the absence of conflict. We may still have circumstances that don't go our way or challenging relationships to navigate. What it does promise is the presence of God in our lives. And if he is with us, there's nothing we should fear. And I know it's really easy to sit up here in front of all of you and say that. But it's quite another thing to live it. And I know that. What it does promise is this presence of God in our lives. And if he's with us, there's nothing for us to fear. We can go with him. Go to him for guidance and strength. We can lean on him when we get weary. And you can also lean on him when you're not. there's something about a hug when things are weary. But there's something to a hug when things are going grand. God desires for us to make peace with ourselves. Every past mistake, personal struggle, or worry for the future is met with the love and grace of God. We also make peace with others because of the forgiveness God has given us. When we come to recognize the grace given to us, our hearts should be transformed. And when we look at, when I look at what our Heavenly, my Heavenly Father has done for me and the grace that He's shown me, how can my heart not change? I too need to be forgiving like Him. We all need to be like that. That transformation needs to take place. As we get closer and closer to Christmas, we move through a season known as Advent. Advent comes from that Latin word meaning arrival. Jesus' first coming was the arrival of God's light to the world. Like sitting around a lit Christmas tree at night, the glow of God's presence washes over us. It calms us, calms all our fears. It steadies us. I think maybe that's why I have a fire pit in my backyard now, and that's like the Christmas tree that's there year around. And I don't know if in the military they call a fire a Ranger TV, and they just those in the military are like, yeah, okay. But there's just something calming and soothing. Just to sit down, and there's a fire, not a word has to be said. And like, whoo. Maybe do that this Advent season. Don't start a fire in your house, but look at the tree. That tree that's in your home. It's lit up. And sit there at the tree and just relax for a minute. Remember the shape of that tree, but also remember the shape of that tree. Christmas time, we also make a note of this Advent. We know that the coming of this Christ child, but it's also an Advent, the coming of our Savior. He came to us. Give us life eternal, and one day He will come again. Lastly, peace is our purpose. What the world needs more of is people who have the peace of God in their hearts and who are willing to share that peace with others. It does no good for us to keep all that peace that God has given us inside and do nothing with it. How stingy. How stingy. Not an option. It's not an optional thing for us to embody this peace and not share it. It is an expectation that Jesus has for His people, for His followers. Joining God in making the world a better place is the purpose of our lives. In fact, Jesus speaks to this in the middle of His most famous sermon of the Beatitudes found in Matthew 5:9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The angels told the shepherds that peace was available to them on whom God's favor rests. Jesus said something similar when He stated that peacemakers will be blessed and they will be called children of God. When we are willing to seek reconciliation with others and fight for harmony instead of fighting against each other, hear me, fighting for harmony, wanting to be one, it makes all the difference in the world. Getting rid of that dissension that we allow to take root. We need to be identified with the heart of God who longs to reconcile the word to Himself, the world to Himself. We look like the Father, and we are recognized as children in His family. You know what I mean, right? I mean, it's like, you know, when you're out as a family or not, or somebody recognizes you, and you're like, aren't you our Cantor's kid? know what I mean? You're like, yeah, that's my mom. Yeah, my dad too. Yeah, I'm a counter kid. Right? We look like or favor our parents. How do we as children of God need to look like our Heavenly Father? Aren't you a child of God? I just look like a child of God. You resemble Him so much. I would say that has got to be the biggest compliment ever. When somebody sees something in you, they're like, oh, you're one of God's kids, aren't you? And something inside you just got like, yeah, I am. I am one of His kids. Come on. There are many people who do not value peace in their relationships. And so they live their lives in a constant state of conflict. Have you ever met one of those type of individuals? Some people are looking for they're looking for a fight because they're not in one. It reminds me of, I put up my Christmas decoration in my office, and it's a Charlie Brown tree. Everybody know what the Charlie Brown tree looks like? Little thing about this big with one bulb, red, with a blue apron that goes around the bottom. Have you watched that show? Charlie Brown's Christmas, yeah. And so the Charlie Brown at the beginning, Linus says to Charlie Brown, it's the first lines that Linus speaks in this movie. He says, and Charlie Brown is having this trouble, right, identifying what is Christmas really all about? I don't get it. And he's like saying it's so commercialized and that happens. And then Linus says, Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. You got to watch the end. You know the end when Linus recites that passage? This passage that we're reading today. Unfortunately, this is the outcome for people who believe Christmas is all about things, all about stuff. Anything besides hope, peace, joy, and love. This Christmas may be people who embrace the gift offered to us, Jesus who died for us, so we might live in the right relationship with God. Live in a relationship with God and with others. Last week I gave you a homework assignment, kind of. And so I feel compelled to give you yet another one. So here are the questions that I want you to take home and ponder. Pen to parchment, if you will. But that first question, what kind of things tend to rob peace from people's lives? What kind of things tend to rob peace from people's lives? Number two, how is the presence of God and the presence of peace related? Now, that one you might have to sit back a little bit. Or maybe you got it already, Doc. Why is Christ's sacrifice necessary to reconcile us to God, to ourselves, and to others? Last one. What is one practical way to live life as a peacemaker. Doesn't have to be a list. Just pick, make a list, but just pick one. What is one practical way to live life as a peacemaker? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace, the heavenly peace that comes from our Father above. There's no one like you. No one comes close to being able to provide us love, hope, peace, and joy. Your kind of authentic love, peace, and joy, and hope. And I pray that through this Advent season that each and every one of us takes those gifts, unpacks it. And I think these gifts are one that you can repackage and give back to someone else. Our Heavenly Father is counting on us doing just that. Because what our world needs is those things. Love, hope, peace, and joy. In your name I pray. Amen.